colleagues and the officials from the ARCHIA and from Department of Transport. We are highly depleted today, and just the critical is that we are supposed to take decisions which actually we should have a quorum to take those decisions. What we're going to do is to deliberate on these issues, and then we will have to defer the decisions that were supposed to be taken. And when we've got a quorum, then we will reactivate those decisions, because we've got honorable dictators who cannot be able to come in today. Don't know what we ate yesterday, but I must put it on record that a number of members had challenges. And the person who likes it, he enjoys food yesterday, I kept saying, go get food when us move. Honorable Khadebe didn't eat, and you are saved from what we experienced yesterday. So I think those who are preparing food for us should be able to make sure that we don't get food that is has got some bacterial infections which actually affected many of us from yesterday. And Honorable Mulaudi, Honorable Teko, Honorable Ramatakana, they all are on oversight visit. Do we have any from Honorable Teko? Mabika. Honorable Mabika and Honorable Keita haven't apologized, so we wouldn't know their whereabouts in this regard. So the honorable members who are here, we will work, and when next week when we reconvene, we should be able to make sure that the decisions that needs to be taken are taken into consideration before we start with any other business for next week. Must also indicate that we are under pressure. Obviously, we spent 2 full months on electioneering campaigns, and most of the bills that have been put to Parliament are behind schedule, and therefore many of our committees I expected to deal with the bill, so that when we go on recess during the festive season, many of us have already taken those bills through the processes of Parliament, so that we can be able to really reduce the workload that is there. And having said that, honourable members, yesterday we said that we would look into the matters that affect that we should be able to discuss as this portfolio committee and look into, and what else do we believe we should be able to push through. I think and also we are of the belief, or were of the belief, or yeah, let me say we are of the belief that we're going to also look at clause by clause of this bill, so that we are able to say that this clause is okay and we move on. So having said that, I am going to be opening it up to hear from honorable members what are the issues that they believe we should be able to put to the table before we go into clause by clause session. There we are, honorable members. Honorable Musila.
The thing doesn't seem to work yet. I have three things in particular that I still have concern about yet.
Try it again.
There we go. With regards to general issues that we still might have concerns or reservations on, I would like to then highlight three of the main themes that I feel is still of crucial importance that I have a big discomfort on the score. The one is a financial one, and especially the cost of implementation, since I'm worried about the financial state of our municipalities and how this implementation might affect our municipalities. I am aware that, for instance, in the city of Joburg, something like 16 million was spent on training and on equipment, just to mention two very crucial elements of what we should have in terms of capacitating staff and officials in order to have a high efficiency of this very, very important legislation. The second one is around standard operating procedures, and then the connection and linkage between what we develop in terms of legislation and how this would then find effect. Regulations of particular kind, but then operating procedures of a different kind, since we have the experience of the pilot projects where a lot of inconsistencies were mentioned, and I recognize the comments that we received from our officials and staff of yesterday. It's just that we are dealing with a wide scope of managerial and operational implications around this, and I think we should go into more detail about that. The third one is the lack which I see on a particular specifics. For instance, we are talking, and then we are touching on the principal legislation or the principal act with reference to what is referred to as minor infringements and major infringements. The suggestions around having a specific list of what would be minor and what would be major and how those would be treated. So again, we're going into specifics. So those are the three areas of particular concern, Jay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. Honorable Chairman. We do, you can also, if you so feel that there is discourse that you don't, you're not comfortable with, start in three, or the additions that you believe should be made, be able to be made, because as I was listening to Honorable Humshira, some of the things are coming from some of the sources, in the principal bill and the amendments, that is how he was acting on this matter. Ralph, you want to assist which one the amendments, because I also have two here. This is the APA one, and this is the Parliament, yes. Yeah, this is the bill which was submitted to Parliament, D38 of 20. The bill that was submitted to Parliament, Bill B38 of 2015. This one that we're talking to is the amendment that comes from the MPA, which they believe will be able to add to, so that we are able to add on, and then there's a principal act, I don't know if members have got the principal act, but you can just Google it and get it. Yeah. It's not a lot. Yeah, by email and hard copy. If you need, I can give you my hard copy and then I'll go for the email. You can include that when you do those by clause, if there's, you believe that there are certain things that can be factored into, say, clause one, then you are able to do that and deliberate on that. And then you are able to say, this is what we believe, because now we can't take decisions, but we will note that in terms of clause one, these are the things that actually has happened, and when we've got full complement, then we are able to take a decision around that. What they're saying is that they would want to have the process they want to. Honourable members, my understanding is that you would want to talk to the clauses that you believe there are inputs that you want to make, so that for proper referencing and proper follow-ups by other members, you're able to indicate that this is the clause that I am talking to, wherein I believe that these are the things which should be deleted or removed, or these are the additions that I believe on top of this, then we can be able to make additions. Honorable Rosina.
Upon your direction on clauses, I think we should, and it might be a good point to start with it, but look at section 9. Where it's not quite clear around electronic use and conventional postage use, just in terms of the wording, because it's not clear whether it's an or an and it might be useful then to discuss alternatives around that particular clause in order to get clarity, because my take on it is that we can't have either of the two in any exclusive form. It should be a combination, an option, because we need to save money around this. So up to what stage do we in particular would use a combination of the two options? In what way will it be rotated? In other words, continued with maybe an electronic process until it's quite clear that there's no arrival of the message in any particular form or acknowledgement of receipt? And at what stage would one then go over to an conventional form of notification? And through all of this that I'm describing, I take the position that it's important to define that better as what we currently read in a suggested form in section 9.
Okay. Thank you. You want to talk to section 9, Honorable Lucilla?
I'm keen to get into a debate, but I can't debate with myself, so at least we must get another sediment on the table of some sort, or an agreement, because I certainly have suggestions as well, but I don't want to talk alone, colleagues. I'm the one that would prefer to keep quiet and wait for the debate in the house. What's wrong? Don't you have a mandate or what? Are you waiting for the mandate?
From where?
Well, there are several debates. Yeah. Shall we form a new caucus?
This would be rather fun. Because then also, and this would sort of all the opportunity
can learn and learn from us.
So who does Sangana around here?
Yeah.
Who is this Sangana around here?
So like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Excellent, yeah?
Five.
Okay.
So you're surrounded by Sangana.
Okay. Are we quorum dependent to carry on or?
No, we can carry on. We don't depend on the quorum. The only thing is that we can't take decisions. And therefore, the decisions, whatever we do now, the decisions will be taken by a quorum. But you having suggestions that we.
Well, I'm just thinking of waiting. Are we expecting any more members?
Not clearly.
So, just another question then. What status would the input have if we then allow the officials to reply on questions of yesterday, or are you of the opinion rather to have it within a status of forum?
The officials can respond to questions of yesterday, which will assist us as we're making inputs. Does not necessarily require a quorum for them to be able to respond to that. At the same time, it will assist us when as we're making inputs right now. And then the decisions can be taken in a quorum. I am just like afraid that if we break now, we will break the cycle of this week. And already we have already invited the stakeholders for the energy bill, energy amendment bill. Because when we do that, therefore, it means when we come back, we will have to reorganize ourselves so that we are able to start with this process.
Okay. Just another question, Chair. How do you see the process going on then in terms of the next stage from where we are now in not having quorum, in not progressing on anything that we could put on record? How do you see the next stage? I mean, is the next stage that we debate in the House decide on setting, or what would the next opportunity be?
Remember when we will be having a quorum, we were supposed to say, do we desire the bill to proceed or not? That will be a decision that will be made by quorum before we even take it to the next step. Remember also at the same time, the legal advisor is supposed to say, having listened to the inputs, these are the things that from the public hearings were put together, were added, and these are what members have also looked through and added, and therefore this is how this anticipated bill will be like based on public hearings, the discussions of the members, and then the legal people are able to tell us this is how we should be able to proceed. And we will look into that and then be able to say, is that good? And it will soon be a closer. So, then we can be able to proceed to go to the House.
My hesitation and questions arise from the fact that we've been given inputs or concerns for the last two sessions without reply, and therefore there's no understanding of to what extent these suggestions have been absorbed or considered and counted in which way. So to continue with the third session then before reply, I think is a bit daring, because in a way it gets repetitive now. But I do understand the complications that we currently have in not having a quorum. Hence my question, how do you see the process going forward? Because certainly it would rob us of particular opportunity then.
Honorable Khade.
Well, I have some also issues to raise around this bill. I also requested to make printing software the main of all the discussions that we engaged, that I think the advocates incorporated those what we edited. Because if you remember correctly, I think it was around clause 3 where I raised very serious concern of to say who's responsible for the authority basically. Where does it lie? Does it lie with the board or does it lie with the minister? Because if you remember correctly earlier, it was presented that they want full powers to run. But we can't give you all the full powers. Some of the other powers was coming with the minister as the solemn head of the institution as it is a pastor. So I wanted also just to check whether that has been affected to the bill. But you see, the other thing that also rises is that how much would it cost, rising from what the Robinson was just saying, how much would it cost just to change the name authority to agent? Well, I'm trying to check how much would it change? How much would it cost in terms of monetary value? Maybe if they get able to assist us with an estimation, how much will it cost? Because that thing will just really mean you change everything from letterheads, branding, it's an overall change basically. It's a 360 degrees change. So I'm trying to understand how much will it cost in its all in touch. And then, but we can also understand that, and also we can be able to know where will be the budget also coming from, whether has it been estimated, to be allocated in terms of this institution. Yes.
Oh, Honorable
Sonny,
thank you, sir. I think we should be advised so that we don't find ourselves on the wrong side of the law. The issue that you were clarifying on the quorum, so that we don't proceed and move ahead, then when we have to take the report with the other members, then the COVID question that at the meeting where you discussed these matters, you were not constituting a forum. And then the legality of what our exercise will be zero. So I think we must jump that in now before we move to the next step, or presume that when they are back, they will agree to what we have gone through. I just have that concern, Chairperson, so we don't take this thing for granted and later be told that we're embarking on an illegal exercise. So I don't know how many, there are 3 advocates today. Four. They can assist us in this record. But now we are getting into the legal part. All along we've been briefed and brainstormed and and we never took any decisions. Now we want to take decisions. So that aspect, 10%, I think is very, very important.
In terms of process, the committee they call to make a decision, but not necessarily to keep it with the 30 years. So in terms of deliberation, and I think I'm just to kind of process to the members, this process today is to start to deliberate on possible proposals for the final product, which is the final goal that the committee is going to produce. So in terms of process, the committee members can continue with raising proposals for possible proposed amendments or changes that they would like to see in the bill. As a vice chair, that due to the lack of quorum, that no decisions are made, which is also obtained, because ultimately members, once members have raised the possible amendments, proposed amendments for the bill, which is going to be a bill that's going to be adopted by the House. There are a few things that's going to happen before then. Members are going to discuss the proposal. The parliamentary legal advisor will be drafting a list of proposed amendments to the bill. And that is the moment where the committee is going to finally decide which proposed amendments are going to go into the bill 28 June 2015. So it's still a process. So today basically it's a process of making suggestions, discussing those, but not necessarily to make a decision on those. So when the committee sees the business and there is now, and different members are now starting to get to a point where there's agreement on what possibly go into the final product, that's when the decision making process is taking place. But finally, there will be a list that can be drafted by the legal advisor, because she's taking notes, as it is taking notes. As an example, when Mr. Wiesner mentioned Section 9, those are things that already going to be added to possible amendments or possible issues for consideration for the final amendment to this goal. And that is the list that the committee decisions are going to be made, and that is the process that we're going to do before the goal. So Chair, for today, it's safe to continue discussion without a common presence in the committee to center. There's a need to make a decision. The committee has the option of co-opting the team.
Honorable Bende.
Thank you, Sebastian. Yeah, I think Uvalir is correct. Procedurally, you can't take decision because you don't form the quorum. But therefore, and likewise, I was going to suggest to you that we give the department maybe to respond to some of the things we have raised, so that from there we take it from there. Because now at the moment it seems we are rotating in the same place. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the proposal which was made by both Honorable Bushinga and Honorable Maswangani, that on top of what was put forward yesterday, there were other additions that members raised. And before we even go into the discussions as members, probably we hear from the department as to how they handled yesterday's issues. That they have The name is very difficult. Suletan. It's called inside here. The president is the department leader.
All right. Nothing.
in those places. But because you are here, as one of the executive managers, you will start with the president.
Okay, give her a touch on. Give her a break. The department and Arcia can continue.
Yesterday we took your questions, and at the end of the session we did indicate that those resources, as you're doing that presentation, it looks like you're not covering anything else, and the agreement of that you are going to respond to that and submit web documents for those resources. So today we know that the PowerPoint presentation, and we think we need to submit those issues. I remember checking that another organization also wanted to see some of the certificates that we said we'll send
reports,
all the documents.
Reports, not certificates.
Oh, the reports, yeah, the reports. With the responses. However, I'll just go through the issues that we touch up here so that we clarify some of those that we can't clarify now. Chairperson, the issue that was raised yesterday by Honorable Anzu, I think we should be responding to the issue of NESIS, NCR, and the National Public Affairs Register. That was done. The one that I hear Honorable Namsu was not specified about was the issues around the cost of implementation to municipalities, standard operating procedures, the minor and major procedures. And this, I think this issue also came up from the other session, that how we responded to those, it looks like it was not satisfied. So how did you do the issue of cost? To be an overview. Chairperson, currently the municipalities under criminal procedure, they are required to buy for themselves equipment to make sure that they have books, Section 56 offices, to make sure that the training that is done for their officers, to make sure that they have a fair office that catches those notices. So they have a responsibility in terms of that. Now, when it comes to the new process, services, okay, they also have the responsibility of posting those notices that will be generated by cameras. Now, when it comes to the new process, services, the municipalities still bear their responsibilities in terms of Section 17 of the dispatch. They have to guide themselves, which is afterwards. And what we have done is we looked at some of the things that even were raised yesterday, services, or the other day by Honorable Defenders, which were each of the operational issues. We looked at what came out of the pilot report, and we took all the issues, training, communication, equipment, NCR. We took all those issues and we said, these are the issues that we need to check before we go to roll out. Okay? So the municipality currently, we have been going throughout the country to make sure that we verify if they have the machines, if they have the books, if they have all sorts of things. Now, in terms of cost, certainly, they still have to buy the books themselves. There was an issue relating to why they have to buy from one supply. In terms of cost, you cannot buy anywhere else. You need to buy from government printers because they've got an algorithm number that will never be the same for any other machine. So they need to buy these. In terms of training, chairperson, the RCIA has absorbed the cost of training, both for head office and for traffic officers. That is done by the RCIA. The RCIA is also registering the cost in terms of following up. Because now, in terms of actors, they don't have to go out and have those roads and have all these kind of things. The RCIA will be following up through after process. Now, the issue that was
definitely of the thing to the municipalities, because there is the cost of frames of procurement. Johannesburg is issuing average on a monthly basis, 450,000 in notices. Johannesburg, I mean, average on a general notice, 450,000. And if you can stay here to push this, it comes to between 8 and 10 million a month. That has been a problem as well. From that amount, that they issue, right, they have 5 service providers, which for us is too much time. If they have to go with 5 service providers, that is each they spend in the region of 7 to 8 million per month on this service providers. Okay? And then it will be pushed. Now, the biggest issue that was there, Chairperson, after they pushed their first thing, South African Post Office could not sell this thing. As a result, people come back and say, look, we can't say because they were not 40 days within us and so forth. So this register mail issue became a problem for us. And this came from what we've done already, what we've been doing throughout the channel. As a result, we said, in order to make the cost to municipalities easier, we need to change the law so that we can also do it through electronic forms. So that big cost postage, it will be reduced once we do this statement. Okay? There's no any other cost that we foresee in terms of municipalities. There might be employment of one or two people to get more people in order to do media transactions or something. However, the same machine that we are using now of images, that they are registering vehicles, they are taking payments for registering, it's got this NCR, as we indicated, this is one of the same things. It's there. They don't want to have to buy anything else other than one thing, which is a scanner. The scanner will be used if a person wants to make a presentation. The people who can adjudicate on the presentation are sitting in a chair. So they can scan this thing and do a translation, and then it comes through to the RCIA and will be an adjudicated on that presentation. So, Chairperson, as another one too, the cost would be less than what it is now. One of the things that I must indicate, Chairperson, the price service provider, sitting in Johannesburg, they also do capturing of afterwards, which is specific to 6 months. Those that the officers have written, and they are using their own system. So for everyone that is captured, it's a cost to the municipality. And we are saying, under that, this same machine, NCR, you are not going to need a service provider to capture afterwards. You're just going to need them to upload camera notices into the National Contracting Service. So in a sense, the cost, certainly, if the act is going to be amended, and we have alternative means of saving other than those registered means, the cost is going to be lesser, and it's not going to be extra cost on the municipalities. The issue of standard operating procedure, yes, again, this is a matter that, of course, it's an operational issue. The two cities that are currently implementing that, they have different ways of requesting documents. If you are going to submit a nomination in Swan, don't agree that you submit a nomination just with the IG. When you go to Johannesburg will say, no, we want that IG to be certified, and we also want the ready license. So there are different requirements that they use, because the act is to the satisfaction of the issue of law. We realize that that is causing problems for motorists out there. Then the standard operating procedures that we have drafted is just to make guidelines for everyone to say, this is how we are going to deal with issues. When a person comes for a representation, this is how we check time. When a person comes for payment, this is what we do. When a person comes for, so all those, I think we have 41, if I'm not mistaken, standard operating procedures under us. For cashiers, for capturers, for traffic officers, everybody has got this own standard operating procedure. And that comes from exactly what the law says in terms of the regulation and so forth, then we simplify it for them to do it. So we believe, Chairperson, that in that respect, we have done some work. However, as for the people in that app, if any regulation change, we need to go back and change those standard operating procedures. The issue surrounding minor and major infringement, Chairperson, that we need to know exactly what it is. If you look at, and this is something that we are going to attach on the document that is coming. If you look at Schedule 3 of the outdoor regulations, it shows there what is a minor infringement, what is a major infringement, what is an offense. There are three categories under Schedule 3 of the outdoor regulations. And each one of them is got its own penalty. It starts with the code. So what is the code? That is used by the shipping and the cargo website. And then it's got a short description of the law, and then a long description of the law, and it will say, these are the points, the main points for this, this is the amount and the time. So each and every one, it's got its own disclosed code. Okay. What we have done and what we want to achieve there is we don't want to have a major and a minor infringement. We want to have infringements and offenses. So that there's no doubt in people's mind when you have this, that either it's a major or a minor. This might be one infringement and then we have offenses. Remember, offenses is those ones that we perform. Drinking, driving, excessive speeding. We have a new one which is if you drive a vehicle, both number is not a fish. It must be an offense so that we are seeing to court. So we have added those kind of things to say, these are the serious issues that we see. We recognize that one after is there, people will take out their number plates in order to go. So we are making it a little bit steep so that people should not take a chance. So that is another one I'm seeing here. It's in the regulations. It's, as we speak now, it's the one that is used. However, it still has minor and major. So we are coming here to the committee and say to Parliament and say, let's go with major and minor. We must have infringement and offenses. There's a list there, what we are doing, just for the sake of completing this schedule too. What we have done, honorable chair and members, when we were discussing this thing at NEFEC, NEFEC went and discussed the regulations. They wanted us to look at certain things and said, no, we have about the deal, but they said, we have concerns because some of the infringements that happened, everything had a general report. So we went there and said, let's look at what is it that doesn't deserve a general report. As you said yesterday, parking, for instance, if you have, and I think Honorable Matonga asked this question, if you have parked in a parking lot here in Kita, and the time that you spend there is more than what you have picked up. It is an infringement, right? But you said, this one, because you are not exactly endangering no one's life, we should take away the general point of it. Okay? But those, honorable Masonga, that you might find, because it's different charges. Remember, parking here, parking day, it got its own food. But when you are obstructing, I think it was another charge, when you are obstructing traffic, where you are not supposed to park, it's a new line and all that, it's a different charge. So that one is what we need. Okay. So we did look at this thing. We look at what is the impact of a specific infringement vis-a-vis road safety. And once this one is of potential to harm people and whatever, then we put the medical source. Okay. So it is there, it is well defined. Once the act has been amended, we have already amended the schedule break. We can now put it in the Parliament Gazette for comments, and then once it has been done, then it can be put for application to the respect. The funds in there, they are the same for farming as well as well as there. Okay. There was a question about how are we ready for us to run out after. Chairperson, as I indicated, there is the facilities in New York, we've got a national corner called Agro National Testing. We are sitting with all the provinces and we have adopted the method to implement the corner. where we track the issues that come from the pilot. How far are we with these issues? Have we done this? Have we done the training? Have we done all these things? For instance, the issue that came was in terms of NCR. Even though it's a person, NCR has got all, most of the, not all, most of the transactions that are being used now. We still need some of the transactions that will make it easy for the municipalities. Mr. Chair did indicate yesterday that we don't have certain reports. If you have a report from the NCR in terms of settlements, you must ask the FEMA. And the FEMA must go and spend a week or so before they can give you a report. We need to touch a button and can get facts in terms of what is going on. When we draft annual reports and our report, it is so difficult to question that we must ask the FEMA. And they will give you a report in a PDF format that you can't do anything about it. Then you go back and ask the same report next month, the figures are not the same. So we are saying to the same, it can be. They need to fix those particular issues transactions so that when we go on into next year, we don't have issues that municipalities will come to us and say, but this is not what is okay. So NCR, there's got some, we identify major issues that they need to do. The only done five. One of them, certainly for the safeness of completeness on that issue, was that even what they've done when they developed the SEI, they developed it in such a way that when you give a FEMA, when you give a traffic officer an address on a phone, that officer will write the address. When you take a chat on a system, it will automatically change the address that you gave them for your vehicle. We realize that it can be that donor center. At least that one was resolved. It actually is best. It's working properly. The second issue was all the vehicles of Elis, example, they could not have their assets. Simply because one vehicle that was used in the commission of offense. So what we did, we went back to them, we spoke to the FEMA, and it was before the issues with UC, and they did something into that. Now, currently, all the vehicles will be stopped to renew its license. Okay? The functionalities of cash management system are short in top. The cash management system that was developed by Hashim. It's a system that was used for taking calls for people in that have got problems with emails. Now they wanted to take the same system and put it into outdoor environment. And outdoor environment is got different functionalities that we don't agree with Hashim. For their own selfish reason, they wanted us to use it. You refused, and you are saying it can't happen. You must have a dedicated system that will track applications, because currently we are sending applications on our own, through our own systems, and we are saying this system is strange. How are we going to know from the other side what's going on? So we want a system that will be tracking the process, and we should know. Currently what I do is on a monthly basis, I must get that much to give me a file that are using the revision of that impact. It's time moving. So we need to have a task management system that will talk to the processes of our work. I'm not sure that the rehabilitation programs were addressed by Advocate Iguali. The issue that was raised by Anaro Masora about Sanka. I think that was the issue that was going to say, what is Sanka and so forth. So that's when we agreed that should there be a need for the military and all the others to come and make a presentation in support of us so that the group can make a test stand from those. The of blockage of driving licenses exists. I don't know if the members understood what Mr. Schuhe was saying, because Mr. Schuhe stated that there are two processes. If a vehicle is a person, I'll make an example about what is the last company here? Golden Hills. Golden Hills. If Golden Hills is a person, not to fix their buses, they get a driver, and the driver must take the bus, go into the room with that bus. And that bus, for one reason or another, doesn't have good tires, gas, and all that. When the traffic officer stops, that driver, currently under the criminal procedure process, the driver will see a notice to say you are driving a vehicle that's not a roadway. And then the driver must pay, or you face the consequences. Under ACT, the process was when the driver is back and is given that notice, afterwards, because the driver is actually driving a vehicle that is not driving a vehicle that is not roadway, we will receive a notice, okay? Because he was told that you will not operate as a driver in a roadway vehicle. But when that notice is captured in the system, the system will recognize what you call an operator vehicle. So say, this is a bus, it's not an operator car. Then the system will take that notice, the same notice, with the same information. Then we'll pull the owner's application. And then we'll put on the system and we'll send the same notice to the owner under section 49 of the Road Traffic Act. That says every owner must make sure that his or his vehicles are in the roadway condition. So the vehicle itself will get what we call generic on its own operator car. The driver will get generic points on his own. If the driver and the owner are the same applies. The vehicle is not his own because it's an operator vehicle, the driver gets his own. If in a situation where some person there are three or four issues that vehicle has, then the team request will be the highest of the three. It will not be one occasion a person stops and then 12 team requests are suspended. Only one, which is the highest, will be taken for years in that person. I don't know whether that is clear. Okay. Secondly, if somebody is driving a vehicle, and then the lights are not working, he's not wearing a safety belt, and this person is probably drunk, right? He's got three. And this one is an offense, 15 points, drinking and driving. Safety belt is 14 points, right? The light is 3 million points.
Under the highest one.
Yeah. So if this person is caught, the officer will write a notice for light, a notice for sit them, and we'll take this person because this one is not an infringement. We take this person to court. Right? Now, this person can take, but it will indicate that on the same circumstances, there's a case pending. So there will not be demerit points allocated to this person. Until this case is resolved, if this person is found guilty in court, then because this one is carrying 6, it will be only 6. If this person is not found guilty in court, this one, which is 4, will kick in, and not only 4. So it's designed not to make people get their licenses suspended at one go. It's designed to make people think that this is where I am, I need to change my behavior so that I can get to a point where I'm clean. Honorable Shibane did ask about the financial implications. I think I did clarify that one. Yeah, others were comments that Rawls Madhavan is not teaching that we have the indigenous case checkers. In my computer yesterday, I was looking about the comments of the pet industry that they did in 2013. I also found the email that I sent on the 20th when the committee decided it's going to extend decent South Africa's email and say comments that you extended. And that's why we didn't receive anything from them. I'm not sure what else was very provision. So it's the best one to see. I'm not always trying to ask a question about where is this model being successful. And I think yesterday we did indicate that the model of rehabilitation has been done in several states that we went to look at how it operates. Okay. But if the issue here tells me, because I said here where the model has been successful, the act of process is that because it just proves that in here, in our country, that people start to obey the rule of the road and also pay their dues when it's at enforcement of the school. Okay? We have done a test to look at the number of infringements during a particular period in Johannesburg and the number of infringements during after process in Johannesburg. What we found out situation was that Johannesburg, at the time when there was no act, they were issuing less than 200,000 camera infringements a month. Since after, they moved from 200 to 450. And we are saying situation, at the act here, we believe can't, when enforcement can't seem to be Chairperson, we have a model that says in this country we've got graduates that are unemployed. We are saying in order for us to assist in this case, we are looking at, for instance, psychology, social workers who are unemployed, to come into this program and make sure that they interact with the people, that they are in their own areas, in order to make sure that these people are rehabilitated and become back into our own with a better attitude. It's not going to give a company to go and do this kind of thing. It will be the youth within the communities that must register and then we go through a process and then we get a request to then do that particular business. What you are looking for in the person is the skills to train these people in order for them to run businesses. And that we are going to resource to say there must be a company that can train in all the provinces this youth in order for them to be ready to run the businesses. So person, I don't know if there's anything that I've left out. If not, maybe members can make sure that
there's something that is outstanding from what was discussed yesterday that members believe should be engaged on a Rusibande.
Sorry, Chairperson, just the only one thing which I think is also the most important. I think I never heard anything about the culture about cloned number plates, because that one is very, very high component to crime. So it's quite important. And I think the penalty or the punishment can be
I want to get back to the financial matter. Just to make sure, say that the question is correctly understood. Yesterday, in the section that we dealt with responses, we heard about a response on very specific financial questions around R2 will definitely be of benefit, and all the noble intentions, we have no illusion about. It will definitely change, and it's a great attempt in order to change behavior. And there might be savings, as was explained, in terms of social departments and health, and also road accident fund, and we applaud all these objectives. But we need numbers. We had the benefit of a typical simulation with the two metros. It was very specific questions, and you know, in terms of answers around, you know, very descriptive, more emotive type of answers in terms of yes, it will be less, but it will be more. Really, we need specifics. We had the great opportunity, and I admire the fact that we actually put this legislation in a pilot status for a duration. But part of the measurement and evaluation should definitely be quantifiable numbers, and that's what I'm after. We need to get a financial expense and revenue income projections. We need to see numbers around this. And I would definitely not be happy with these sort of vague descriptions of this. And I'm not going to raise this particular point again, you can be sure of that. But we definitely need numbers. The B part of the concern about finance is the one that's due to hit municipalities. And it's not just in terms of affordability and then to offer, you know, answer in terms of they have books, they must just buy, you know, different books. That's not going to go off. We need an assessment of the actual expenses to be fair to municipalities who will be hit by the financial implications in terms of absorbing R2, but also so that we can ultimately say it was a successful national rollout. So small municipalities in particular have to consider budget cycles, for instance, very, very carefully. And they have a different budget cycle to what government departments have. So therefore, the implementation stage is very important and crucial to them. They must at least have a year in advance warning in order to include certain expenses in their budgets. So it's a very specific exercise because it might be necessary to incrementally deploy this and also consider very successful implementation models like a shared services model where it started off on a district level and then further on to B municipalities at an incremental consideration about this. So thank you, Chair. That's all I wanted to say around that. The other concern that I have, which I now picked up from the specifics that we had the opportunity now to listen to, which gives us great insight in terms of how this is going to work in practical sense. What systems do we have in place then to then alter a particular status around a infringement number, say a demerit number of some kind, after a particular judgment? So while the court case is going, someone with a lesser infringement might have a higher demerit status because the offence is judgment bound before you can apply the demerit point. So what I'm saying, let's go back to the example, which is very insightful. If someone was a drunk driver, is found to be, that demerit point can only apply once the judgment is being made, which is a couple of months, even years after the offence. Whereas the seatbelt and other immediately gets applied against that person. So that person has no demerit status until the end of the judgment. Shouldn't we consider some form of disqualification in that period while this trial is going on, because it can carry on for years and years, because now the lesser infringement, the safety belt, and this is has a higher disqualifying status than the severe one of having been caught under influence behind the wheel. So this is why the practical things are so important, because we need to consider these things. We don't want things to come flying back at us simply because we didn't consider it. So I will appreciate more information around this, certainly because we want this to work. So on the financial side, I'm not going to raise the point again, and I will really appreciate numbers, because we had the opportunity then, with the two metros, and in putting a metro under trial is quite different to the small municipalities that we have, where we have staff issues, etc. But even metros, we have a 740 million write-off every year in the city of Cape Town on fines, which is 44% of the revenue income. So where must the money come from? Where must the money be generated? To finance others. So those are the numbers and real experience which influence this question. But I think I've raised enough. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I would suggest that we go in terms of the amended version that comes from Comrade Powell. He has made it very easy. That's okay. At least it's user-friendly. Even the language, it's not too much. There is no ultra-virus and subjudice here. It's simple English. And that other language of Judge Marty. What is it? Don't not here. There's no Latin here. So it has made it very easy. I was just going through it. Now that we have made general comments, so that we are more structured, we see how far we can take it. It's more like clause by clause, the way you have condensed it. I would suggest, Chairperson, even before we go to the assembly, we need another full session, specifically with SALGA. The others, they have made their inputs. But the sphere of government that is going to be directly affected, negatively or positively, is local government. It's just that that day they were economic with the troops, because also we brought others. I see them raising issues after we have passed this day. So it will be important that we create a platform. RTA should be there. We debate certain issues so that when we go to the House, we understand fully what we are dealing with. You see, the more we raise questions, the more it becomes complicated.
writing off bills in Cape Town. And the more he appreciated the five service providers who are costing Globec each 7 million or so, that's the experience that we want. So we don't want that when we have passed the bill, Salga holds the press conference and say, we told them, when we go and look at their input, they just said 10 million. I do not know that that 10 million is what other expenses which are hidden behind. It's not only issuing the ticket. Now they are talking service providers. So we need a full session. Atia should be there, and Salga will come with their team. And then we debate this matter. But I would suggest for now, Chairperson, we go in a structured manner so that we are not all over on what is recommended in the amendment. And then we see which ones we can take. Like, I see there are issues of mortuaries, which I don't agree here. So that's what I suggest.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maswanga. I think Honorable Hunsinger has really elaborated on matters of finances, which RTO will have to take cognizance of. And therefore, it also becomes very important that as a proposal is being made, that we call Salga, the relevance of us getting the two metros the project was piloted in becomes very, very important, so that between the two metros and Salga, as we deal with this matter, then we're able to really take it to finality with the understanding of the experiences that Salga has just hinted on and the experiences that comes from the two metros. It now is very, very important that we're able to have those metros, and we'll see how we put them into our program once we have finished with the public hearings, which are scheduled for next week. Proposal that we take unfortunately there are no changes on my document. Let's look at page 2 of the bill and look at the proposed, I think it should be the object of the bill, the first paragraph, and then we will take clauses that follow, so the amendments that have been section amendment of section 1. Can we look at the proposed object of the bill? Is there anything that we believe we would need to add? I just want to check with Archia. At what level are you going to be, or rather, the rehabilitation? Because here I'm looking at you, you're looking at the documents, financing, and the penalties. We think that probably we should also, in the object of the bill, put matters that are rehabilitation related. I'm just checking with yourself as to, because when you look at even the proposed bill, we're looking at the definition in a very simplistic manner, but we didn't put issues of rehabilitation into consideration. So I thought that maybe, I don't know, I stand to be corrected, that we look into matters of rehabilitation if they don't, they can't be part of the object of the bill. I don't have how we can be able to put that, but if it's, there is some way where we're talking to this issue, stand to be advised as to possibility of us putting the, into the bill, the question of the object of the bill, the question of rehabilitation. Just
So remember when we started the situation, from what we're hearing, then we started putting some of the things together. So the committee is going to ask for us to do, we will include some of the things so that the RAP can be ready.
Can we look at amendment section 1? Are we compatible with the section 1? Which is page 2? Are we okay?
So what you are saying is a clear, legible, and certified. So clear and legible. What they will certify, they understand. What is this? This was a tip.
What in practice from the authorities themselves, they understood that people will go to a photocopy shop and do a photocopy. When you look at that, you can really see who the person is, and they say that's not legible enough to, for them to be comfortable that this document belongs to so and so. So they say it must be legible, that they can read everything that is in there, and then it must also be certified.
Properly answered, Honorable Masonga. Maybe. Okay. I was indicating to Masonga that in view of the response, are you okay? But also to say that we are looking at this legally. The legal groups here are saying we should be mindful of the fact that this is not the the proposed clause by clause as such. As members, we're just looking at it, and we will still come with the clause by clause matters once they have incorporated all the things that we are having. Yeah. This is not clause by clause. Don't be confused.
Yes. But what is
yes. Yes. And then we put this proposal.
Simplified version.
So that, therefore, what we are saying, is that this simplified.
No, the person I'm dealing with said there was something which was by Shiva.
I'll come deep.
Why is it part of the meeting?
No, they say are same. Are just same then. The same guy. So I'm sure that when this person goes through the applied the legal and then they must go in the first school. Then we deal with skin curve by curve. After this, then we deal with skin curve. Otherwise, we can't do it curve by curve now.
Okay, I apologize on his behalf. I didn't hear what he said. Let's be structural and be very focused, because Ujamanzi now has derailed my meeting. Yes, we have to apologize even to Honorable Sibanda to say it was just a joke. It doesn't take anything out of you, Dana, if you apologize to Sibanda. Earlier on when I was talking, I was saying this is a guide which makes our life easy as we're interacting with the proposed amendments which have been gazetted by Parliament. And once we have done this, the legal expert in Parliament will go and factor in into the bill and then bring it back to us so that we can be able to deal with it clause by clause. The response has been given to section 1F. Can we move on section? Let's look at the whole section 1 and see if there's other things that we believe we should be able to do. Honorable Matwanganyi.
See on page 3, which is in the principal at page 4, F at 2, Romans of the 2, under definition. They propose that the definition should read, authority means the road traffic infringement agent established in terms of section 3. And in the principal at the agent means the road traffic infringement agent established by section 3. I want to understand in simple terms the difference between the agency and the authority. Because what is here is to change authority and agency, but the center still reads the same. Why? Unless there is a definition of an authority somewhere, so that I don't ask questions which are irrelevant, the chairperson.
Being old, what does it mean? Elected.
Yeah. So we check out.
I wanted to change the gears in a way that probably, as you will be responding to that, the question, Linaba Babenj. We used to have a poem in Setswana about Nyonyana Tepedi. And I can't even say Nyonyana Tepedi because Enweke Manso, Enweke Museu, Nalibo Manso Kabuli. African name.
Yes.
Nyonyana Tepedi, just let me allow the meeting to be to process. I wanted to say that while Mr. Tuletan will be responding to your question, Honorable Maswangani,
I would want Ardia, because they effected most of these issues here, if they can be able to take us through the process of the effect that they did, which came from the public hearings and the issues that we were raising yesterday. They will take us through the principal bill, the proposed amendments, and why they will be using this document. Mr. Tilek Randi.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue that is raised by Honorable Masonga, the issue of authority, Chairperson, we believe that as an entity that is responsible for making sure that road traffic improvements, the issuance and as well as the adjudication thereof is done accordingly. We believe that when we just called an agency, there was no real authority that we could exercise. And what we did is, in the same act, we actually said this authority can actually withhold monies from from municipalities if they're not going to do the right things in terms of the act. So based on that we have some authority to do certain things in order to correct what municipalities and traffic law enforcement are doing. We thought if we use this word authority, it might carry some weight, because an agency, you know, the word agent itself, it says you are just a go-betweener between the two. So we have said, madam, the issue of agency and authority might indicate that as an authority in the space of dealing with traffic infringements, we can do certain things. As you said, we can withhold monies from authorities who are not compliant. It is very important for us. One of the things that we realized during the pilot was, if any authority, issue authority or municipality, is not doing things according to the SOP and the regulations, the ultimate is that we, as the RCIA, might not be aware of certain things. And when we carry on the processes of, for instance, enforcement order, what happens is people run to court and challenge the RCIA, not the municipality which made a mistake somewhere. So based on that, we said if we have an authority, as an authority to do certain things and make municipalities comply, that takes away most of our rules that we have currently in terms of court cases that we are facing. Chairperson, the next one is D. And
I still want to understand, Chairperson, as to where, who will give them powers to withdraw money or not issue money to municipalities. Because municipalities are a sphere of government. Advocates, it's not an agency, you don't want it. It's not an agency of national government. You hear Salga when they come here, when they meet them. They are a sphere. They are a government. You are an agent of the department. It's a fact. So, now we're getting deeper. I wanted to understand that. And now you are going into the cooperative governance politics. Are we going to win what you are saying with Salga?
If the meaning from agency to authority, it also means the change of powers. Now you want to have more power.
That's exactly the issue that we are raising. The withholding of monies is for us to make sure that the municipality is correct. What they are doing, that is not okay. You remember that, Chairperson, within this thing, we said with the authorities can withhold monies until the authorities comply with what they need to comply. And Dezenberg, I think, who sells that? No, yeah, it was City of Johannesburg, and it was also Salka, who said to us, if you are going to withhold money for us non-complying, please make sure that yourself as well, you be as Salka, as a Johannesburg, we can withhold money if the RTIA is not compliant. The RTIA has got things that they cannot comply with. For instance, the Act says we have 21 days to do representations. The Act says we must serve courtesy letter. If you fail to do that, there will be money that will be sitting at municipalities that they can actually withhold and not pay over to APIA. So they actually, you know, we agree, except that they are saying the principle must also apply to us as the APIA.
But Chair, the other thing I'm just trying to check is that if an ordinary is reading this bill, will he be able to understand what do you mean by clause C? Because I think you must have a clear distinction of this authority and RTA. There must be a clear distinction because you see authority means road traffic management authority. I don't know. Maybe it's my main language, but how do you say it exactly? Can you say authority means road traffic management enforcement agent, authority? Why don't you just say road traffic management infringement? You take out the agency, you put authority. Right? I'm saying authority means. I mean, I don't know.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to here and try and clarify what honourable member to not understand. What the bill seeks to do here, as my nearest friend has already making the clarification, the bill seeks to delete agency. If you go to the Principal Act, you will notice that agency has been defined there. So now, in order to put something where they have already taken something, which is the agency, which means blah, 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 as it is already defined there, they now define authority, which is the replacement of the agency, which was defined in the Principal Act. That's what the bill is to do, as already understood by the previous speaker. I hope this clarifies Chairperson.
You want to talk to the section, is it section 3 of the Principal Act?
Yes. In actual fact, the definition, section 1 of the Principal Act defines agency, and it is established by section 3 of the Principal Act. And the functions are there. There's nothing that is being, it's just the name that is being substituted.
Not the powers.
Chairperson, I just need to bring to the attention of the members that on the same bill, that was something that we have. Then we have proposed amendment of section 32. I just want to make sure where it talks about apportionment of penalties, and you realize that on the proposed subsection 3 said the penalty referred to in the subsection may be withheld by the authority where there is evidence of non-compliance with this act until such time that the act is complied with to the satisfaction of the authority. So, Chairperson, I will not like to say no power is being given, no new power is being given, because this is a new power that has been given. It's the only power that is added to the agency, otherwise nothing else. Unless the members were aware of this, and they were not, they were saying, yes, we are aware, but if there's maybe other thing, you must say so. Thank you, sir.
Mr.
Chairman,
there is members are saying the picture, sir.
The question was, this is a name change. And I did indicate earlier on that, yes, it is a name change. And the rationale behind it was that there is also a power that is given to the agency through Section 32 subsets, proposed Section 32 subsets. So, yeah, through Clause 10 of the bill. Clause 10 of the bill, there is something that gives a new power to the authority. I wouldn't like to go out of here by saying, no, there's no any other power, and so that is a new power that will be given to the authority. And I indicated that even the authority said to us, even to the committee, yes, if that comes in, you can do it on the other side for the authority to be penalized if it doesn't comply.
This thing is going to cause problems with local government. We should not over-regulate, Chairperson. There are FFC regulations and treasury, and but if we put things in the act like this, the local government will come back and say they will pass bylaws and withhold money to RTA. We'll reach a stage where they will be spent off. And that should not be the spirit. The spirit of cooperative governance, I think it's chapter 3, if I'm not mistaken. I've been read the constitution for a long time. Talks about interdependency, though they are autonomous. You see that language. But you go this far as an agency. It's like we are putting an X over them here. You do this or else we guillotine you. They will oppose this. And these are some of the things that post passing of the bill, South Africa are taking us to court. Now, many a times West Africa has taken national governments to court. Development Facilitation Act, and do we want this advocates return, or we want a cooperative governance spirit where there's a platform through MINIMEC and other forums. There are many forums in government. MINIMEC is one of them, where it discussed in a case where a local government sphere has got problems in terms of paying what is due to RTA. Because they will say, now you are using your power in parliament, and what is their defense weapon to do the same? And so, I don't know, Chairperson. It's easy when it's here on the paper. But in practical terms, there's going to be a serious tension between the Department of Transport, who is run by the Minister of Education, and mayors. So it will be proper in the cooperative governance that we don't put things hard like this. We find a way of having a cooperative spirit. That's how I look at this chapter. Otherwise, local government will be hard. They will reject everything. And then we are back to square one. And RTA can't work without local government. That's the fact. You can't be in the whole country. It can't work. So, they'll say, you want us to implement the act partially when it suits you. You want to make money from us, and there are regulations, I think, in treasury, even of grant, when the municipality is not spending, when this and that. Let's also bounce this with treasury and see what good formulation can we come up with, so that you are not seen to be a veteran right from the way, even before it helps. You say, now we want to withhold money from you.
Honorable Khadera, can you talk to the mic?
Can you talk to the mic?
I would say, you know, yes, there will be a competency between the two, because also municipality got authority as well, an authority on it as well. So there will be that competency of, you know, powers between the two. And one would say, but ourselves as a CEO of government, we can't be able to be instructed to be told how to operate. I think Professor is correct that we must find a way to put it in a sense that it has a negotiated table to engage upon. Even if you want the authority kind of powers, but there mustn't be those powers that goes with every part of responsibilities. Otherwise, you're going to have serious to the head of the government.
Thank you very much. I think advocate will look into this matter. The whole of Section 32, 1 up to 4, if you can be able to look at it, probably reformulation of some other things, taking into consideration what honorable members had indicated here, that it should not be adversarial in nature, or probably the authority must have, it will have those powers. It becomes very important that there is cooperation, and we don't, in the end, we don't want to see competition and probably cooperation to a particular extent, but mainly we find that there is competition, and which actually will make the whole situation adversarial in nature. If we can be able to relook at the whole Section 32, and let's work it out, see as to how far we can be able to take it. Continue that lesson. Okay.
Oh, thank you, Chair. So now we have noted that. We look into that and make sure that we do something to that specific area. Members should just know that it's only one subsection, subsection 3, that was interpreted there. So we look into that. Chairperson, on page 3, sub D. Remember, Chairperson, that on the amendment bill itself, we were trying to explain what this electronic service is, so that it is quite clear what is it that we are talking about, it's the saving that is in the bill itself, just to make sure that we include the issues that the members are actually even asking, that what are we talking about if we are talking about electronic service. So I think A up to C indicate the issues that we are referring to when we are referring to electronic service.
Electronic service means confusing issues here. Communication by means of data, including data, research incorporated logically with other data, email. So do they have to go into specific form of communication, say email and text, is it SMSs? So if tomorrow there are innovations in the IT world, it will no longer only be email and SMS, will we have to come back and amend the bill, the act, to accommodate the new innovations in the IT fraternity? Is there no better way which would encompass all this form of communications? was visiting people and said there were no WhatsApp some years ago. WhatsApp just came in. There is something, one young girl, when we were doing immersion, she said, we took photos. She said, send that to me. I said, how? She said, there's something called shared. I did not even know it. In July, she said, let me show you. And she did it quickly. I mean, you learn it. Well, I forget to let her. Do we have to define this? Because this world every day brings new forms of communication. But when you mention it, in a year or two, it might be relevant. There are no more SMSs and WhatsApp. And, I mean, I'm asking a question. I'm not saying change. But I'm saying every day there are new forms in the electronic medium, which come with new names. And by mentioning them specifically, what are the implications? I'm not sure. We just want clarity. I'm not arguing against. You have a better understanding than with this for a minute. Thank you.
No, Chair. I mean, I'm saying probably shouldn't just say the means of communication is through email, electronic, and so on. Probably must just open the spectrum because the means of communication you can still do it on Twitter, you can still do it on Facebook, you know. So I just say encompass all medium of communication through electronic facilities. I would like to be able to better understand, social media and other means of communication. Because once you give it a limit, once tomorrow there's a new innovation that is more cheaper or that is free, for example, we've already limited the sense you must come and amend here before you do it. Because once you do it without amending it, they will still congest these people, they will show it to court. Yeah, but we never said you're going to do this through this lecture. How do you do it? So I think a particular amendment in terms of that will be able to gain assistance.
Included in that, we should also take cognizance of the fact that there should be privacy in whatever means of communication we will be making, because sometimes in some of the social medias, you are able to access somebody's wall without necessarily so having requested permission from a particular person. So those are the things that should also be taken into consideration as we're dealing with the matter. But I fully agree, because the world of cyberspace changes on a daily basis. So it becomes very important that we don't restrict and contain ourselves in such a way that on a 6-monthly basis we will have to come in and amend, because a lot of people don't use SMSs anymore. A lot of people really go into a number of things to can be able to make sure that they are able to be in the social media. So I think these are the things that you must look into, and that it's learning. Oh, before that incident, in your absence, Honorable Khadere, can you do the honorable thing?
Yeah, I'd like to apologize to Honorable Khadere.
Thank you. He did that in your absence, and I forgot when you come back for him to do the same thing, so that your ears can be privy to what transpired in your absence. So, Siyaqhuba Manje. Continuing that escalator. Hold on for me, that is Sibande, while I go to.
Chairperson, the comments on the electronic series by members. If you look at paragraph 8. It's exactly what we wanted to do in paragraph 8, so that we are not...
Which one is the part of the amendment? Your version?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
D. If you look at D, D, and then you look at electronic sales, the definition of electronic sales, it says communication by means of data, messages including data attached thereto, incorporated in or digitally associated with other data that may be electronically related. So we're trying to include any other thing that may be an innovation within this industry. And by the way, Chairperson, what we did, we actually consulted the electronic, what is it, communication. Yes, we consulted there to see what does it say there in order for us to be in line with that act that was passed by Parliament and is accepted by courts. So that's exactly what we've done there. We've taken that so that it can be in line because it's acceptable already. So we believe that that includes the issues that members raise. So we don't want to leave anything out. That's why it was brought. But what I understand from the members now is that once we single out emails and text messages, when I was still doing my drafting courses with legislators, they were saying if you expressly include another, it means you expressly exclude the other. So I think we need to look at that with the assistance of the drafting team and see if this issue that says email and text messages is not actually excluding one any other thing that we need to mitigate. So I agree that the issue of B and C gives an impression that we are only looking at that. But A was trying to be inclusive of all the data messages and communication that might be there. I think the
well, you can probably rather try to avoid, you know, being, you know, exclusive. Like, so I would cellular telephones. Those are as you say, right? I'm not using cellular telephone, I'm using iPad or whatever. That's what I'm saying. You must have that really that covers everything. It's not if it doesn't have that limitation. Yeah, I don't know if you understand. You know, others you know, they read their emails and messages through their CV. Yeah, that's what they do. You know, sometimes I read my email through their CV. I just sit there or read on my email. So I'm saying, you must just try and look at the vast, rather use the electronic, all electronic versions kind of systems. I don't know, but you are the lawyer.
From a drafting point of view, I think A and B covers the concern of the members. Because if you read A, it says communication by means of data messages, including data as such, incorporated in or logically associated with other data that may be electronically retrieved. So anything that you can retrieve electronically, then this service covers it. Also, it says email messages to the authority and the addressee in an electronic communication format. So even if you read it on DSTV, but if you're still reading it in an electronic communicated format. So I think the concerns of the members are covered from A and B in that definition. Thank you.
Okay. Is any follow-up? Yes. No, two from the response side. I'll give you an opportunity, sir.
Chairperson, what I think when I looked at this, no, I think the mistake that we made was, especially on B, we are talking about messages between authority and addressee. What we have left out is the municipalities, issuing authorities. Remember, they are the ones who issue the notices, the first notice. So we believe that we need to include there between the authority and or the addressee. Because that one. Yeah, because what you're saying is issue authorities as well can actually send messages, but here it looks like it's only the actor in that can send the message. So our adjusted members must be aware that we realize that there's something that we left out because it doesn't cover the municipalities. The future.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I think what the advocate has brought, the email is still a problem. You see, A is covering a wider ground. Anything that can be retrieved. But if you want to include B and insert email, it's still a problem. But if you include B and remove the email and want to define that communication which is retrievable, will be between the addressee, authority, and how do you define local government in the act?
Issuing authority.
Without saying the email. And so don't mention, we believe that if you don't mention any form, because anything electronically retrievable, the chairperson yesterday talked about that she used to like Custard advert, we talked about stood the test of time. We don't want bills or acts that will have to be amended every year because it has mentioned some. Remember, already we are threatened with being taken to court on this act. There are certain things that I think, Chair, we even have to go to regulations because these are not regular. This is an act. An act should just be enabling. But if you have an act which is like a regulation, we are going to have problems with that kind of legislation. So let us have the act that it enables you to perform a function. Then certain delays, if need be, will go through to the regulations. I think that's very important that we make a distinction between an act and the regulations. Once you have got all these details, indeed the court is going to find against us. And you have read the attitude of the prosecutors from KwaZulu-Natal who say, yeah, you must go throughout the whole country and convene all of us. That attitude, if we don't take it serious, they will catch up us in some of these things and keep on throwing out whatever you take to court. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Can we move? Or how do we conclude with this?
We will consider the proposal, Chair. Maybe remove email and maybe put mail messages, but we'll talk as a trusting team and come up with a proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Then let's move what?
Let's move what to the next one? Yes, sir.
So, I think the next, which is E, we just wanted to submit to the recognition of improvement. The number is major, minor improvement, so we just wanted to to change that. Definition of improvement and the principle. And the principle it reads that improvement means major or a minor improvement. So because we want to do away with major and minor. The definition of infringement has to be dealt with, which now means infringement means any act of omission in contravention of this act or other traffic and transport legislation. Remember, Chairperson, when you talked about cross-border issues that even when transport related issues. If you have a traffic officer, then we call them passport officers. that stops the vehicle. And this officer finds that the person does not have a permit. And the vehicle has a problem with road readiness. This officer must carry kids. He's going to deal with the person with this land transport, and then he's dealing with this because under this, he cannot issue an infringement. So we are saying he includes those under this act so that they can use one book when they find a person with a transportation. For instance, if a person doesn't have a permit, what we can do if this is prohibited by government, all what we do, we take National Land Transport, National Land Transport Act, and look at the omissions of the infringements in there. And we take that, and then we put them under statutory of act, and the official can actually use the act of institutions under the same that can be put in the end transport legislation.
Chairperson, what would be?
Thank you.
Let's hear from the members. Any proposal? Any comment? Please. Any comment from E? If there's none, please, that we can continue to have. Oh, sorry for that.
The one that you add from the equipment side is from the submission that the committee reviewed, where we wanted to include your national land transport as well as your cross border. So we are not sure that it is, should be proposed here or when the drafts are together with the department that we can add that or be proposed here in the platform.
Advocates, want to assist? At what level will the department make some, but it comes from them, they should have done that already.
Chair. Chair, out of order. From a social law, we have a family to care about this case and come and tell us. Why should you ask to use the from us? And this was rising the RTF. Or oh, go and tell us, supposedly. Yeah, it's for rising RTF, isn't it? Yeah, so why do you have permission from us to do your job? Your service is supposed to engage and give us feedback, ask us to look and approve whether yes, this is relevant or not relevant. Don't ask permission from us, please. You see? That's why I didn't see all resolutions. It's supposed to meet together. You take decision, you insert in here, you come here, you come as a team. Unless you want to come as a stakeholder then talk to present your own version. They must come with their own version. That's what I'm trying to say. That you're a shareholder, but you want to come with your own vision. Aye.
Ashari is good. Sibensi Ashari is Wakosh. Advocate, you wanted to say something?
Chair, I think the best thing would be for us at the department to tell the committee the submissions that were accepted, then the members should tell us whether they have with the with that thing.
Hallelujah.
Probably today you'll apologize all the time. No, because either Sanipur made a proposal, and the RTA and the department are agreeing to that proposal. They are putting it forward to us to say, do we agree with this proposal that comes from Alta Sonepu? Would you want to repeat a proposal that you were making?
infringement. If you read as follows, means any act or mission in contravention of the act or road traffic legislation. Mm-hmm. So then we add, comma, National Land Transport Act and Cross Border Road Act.
Honorable Masangani, the meaning of inclusion, they are now saying in the public hearings,
the reason that we hold a hearing and the department was present, so they take note of things that they agree and disagree with. That's why even the RTA also come present. So that when they bring this kind of document, it's got additions of all things that you've taken note of, that you also feel or you agree with those who can be presented into the flow committee. Because people come here and say, no, now, excuse me, now we are doing this one, then want to add it here. I mean, that really means that then you didn't take any note of any other things. People are going to propose to us that one put in. That's the meaning of it. That I'm saying, you take all the resolutions that they've discussed there, then you insert them in, and say, no, this is the thing, as our chief department, this is what we agreed upon. And also, this one has also been agreed by this particular stakeholder, and the stakeholder has put in here. We agree also with them. This one, we agree with them. This one, we agree. This one, don't agree. We still stick with this one. This is what you propose. And after members, we say, no, in terms of our assessment, this one you put in here is not correct. This one put in here is correct. Then we go with you. You can say, right, asking permission from us, and this thing that you're talking about is not in here. That's what I'm saying, you're asking permission from us to put this thing in here. No, it can't. You can't ask permission from us. The reason that you always come present, that is mandated that you must be present in those hearings. So you can take note of the importance of those things and you put them in. It's your responsibility.
So I can't apologize.
I think you share my rap with your habit. Are we agreeing to the proposal as put forward? Okay, let's move forward. We have lunch, say, around 1 o'clock?
No.
Okay.
So
the next definition is the definition of a national convention register that we are proposing that it should change. On the bill, it reads National Road Traffic Offence Register, and we have so many deliberations on that. Let's look at that, whether it is the same thing. But what we said now, when I did this this other one, and I said, why don't you call it National Offense Register, you know, NOR, rather than this big name. So I don't know whether the committee is going to agree to National Road Traffic Offense Register or National Offense Register, or what is the feeling of the committee on that one.
Honorable members, are there problems with the NOS? Honorable Musi, you spoke so much to the ARTOR, and they have now said it should be the National Offense Register instead of that long acronym.
So my take on it is that I could, in my questions, not establish that there is any essence other than a grammatic change between the two. Even in the very direct question around whether this then also relates to what was referred to in other documents, Inatus as being the backbone of it. So I'm quite happy that it's just a change in wording. And therefore, I don't understand, you know, what the implications might be in reading through the rest of the Amendment Act, even the Principal Act, what implication it might have. So I'm happy that the change is being ignored as a suggestion that we go back to the original wording. Thank you.
Let's proceed.
Yes,
sir.
Honorable
before we start definitions, there is 14, women should have 14 in the Principal Act, the issuing authority. I don't see it yet, but I just want to pick up something there. It's a local authority contemplated in Chapter 7 of the Constitution of the Republic. Local Government Transitional Act or any other applicable. By the time this act was passed, there was no structured act. And I think local government transitional act has been repealed. I'm not sure if it's still applicable. Because subsequent to local government transitional act, there was the municipal structured act of 1998. So, but also advocate, we have to go into detail and mention acts. If you, the supreme law is there contemplated in Chapter 7 of the Constitution, full stop. These other acts, are they still haven't established by this and this and this? I'm asking a question for clarity. As if there are other municipalities established by other acts outside the Constitution. I'm not sure what was the rationale. Maybe 1998 it was relevant. But now,
there's something that they ate. Did you take something? You see, there's certain medications that makes you excited, and I know that because I've got children who've got asthma. So when they take their things, it makes the adrenaline to pump up. Advocates and Mr. Dilipani, let's hear what's happening.
Thank you, Chair. Basically, the Constitution that is a framework, and then if it says that any national legislation must be promulgated. So the national legislation gives effect to the Constitution.
Okay. That's what I was saying. Constitution says then they must remove this local government constitutional act.
No structures act.
Honorable, if you understand the advocate, well, I'll give to you, Honorable Musinga. It says the Constitution says there must be acts, which actually will emanate from there. And therefore, that is why the acts which actually came out of this the supreme law of the country has to be mentioned here, an indication of where does this stand in terms of those honorable Musinga?
Chair, I would argue for the maintainment of the Municipal Structures Act, because in the Municipal Structures Act you also have very specific reference to the delegation of authorities and particular powers which is vested in the execution of municipal functions. So that gives detail which is very particular in what we're dealing with here, since this is a function that would have implication and on local government level. So I didn't go into detail which specific references, but just in general. So this is a direct line which relates to what the advocate says, because the first orientation in terms of where this would find application would be directly in municipal function, and therefore the structures have to be maintained.
I think we noted that the reference to the legislation might be outdated, and we'll have to go back and apply that amendment. Yes, we know that the chairperson, I also need to bring to the attention of the committee that we discussed now the inclusion of transport laws, you remember. You said something that we should work on and include. So that means once we have done that, even this definition, we need to include other state departments that are doing those kind of things, for instance, cross-border, then we must include those state institutions. Sand parks, for instance, is an issuing authority. So we are going to work on that definition to include those that will be doing those other laws. So that members must remember when they look at it, they soon say, what is this now? You remember, Chairperson, you said cross-border. Yes. So those issues that they are going to enforce, because they are going to be an issue authority enforcing that law, we need to define them here under issue authority, to include them here under this definition.
When you are in an army prison,
of trying to limit and name might give us a problem. So we're going to look at doing something broader. Even when 20 years when we are not here, if something comes up, the minister can take that institution and declare it to be an issuing authority, something like that, so that it is pleasurable enough not for us to go and change now and then. Yes, you know, Chairperson, how we deal with this? Once it has been clear, but we do, there's an annexure that we publish in the government gazette. We say in KZN, these are the issuing authorities, including the municipal. And now that the municipalities have been deallocated, we must go back to that gazette in the regulations and change. So it's easy for us to do that rather than in the act. Chairperson, I think the advocates were looking at the offence register, and they are saying, no, if I say to them offence register, there's sexual offence register, there's this, there's that, so we must maintain national road traffic offence register. My apologies, sir. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, next question.
The next provision is provision and the definition of representation office. Chairperson, the current definition says representation of some person contracted by the agency in terms of Section 5 or appointed by the registrar in terms of Section 10 to consider representation submitted by a person who, after he committed a minor infringement, elects to make a representation. Okay? So there are several issues that will not be applicable once we have this act amended. One, Chairperson, the first issue is the fact that Principal X says they must be contracted by the agency. When we started looking at the outdoor environment, Chairperson, we thought we might have people who are contracted that are not within the agency to do representations. But there's a huge risk in doing that kind of service. And there might be a lot of corruption associated with that. So we think that in a controlled environment where people are within the RTIA, you have better control over those people, then you can control the situation better. That's the first issue. The second issue that is in this definition is the fact that it talks about a representation can be done for a minor infringement only. And we're saying now only minor and major infringement. So we need to revisit this particular definition. And I look at this Chairperson and I propose that it was quite early in the morning, so I don't know whether I've written the right thing. A person appointed in terms of Section 10 to adjudicate on the representations contemplated in Section 18. It should be sections. I wrote sections. So that's why we want to define a representation office rather than saying they will be contracted. South Africa now of late, the question is got, it's very litigious. People will come in and say, this legislation says you must contract, why are you not contracting? So we are saying, let's make it very clear that, you know, we must have a controlled environment where these representations are at a central point where we can have control of the situation. If we are going to take representations and we give them all over the country, we don't know who knows who and who can be corrupt, and it will cost a lot of strain on us in order to control it.
You are the inputs are comfortable with what has been proposed. Agreed. Let's move on.
So, person, we have Clause 2, which is amendment of Section 4. A of the Principal Act, it says to administer a procedure to discourage contraventions of traffic laws and support the education of them as set out in subsection 2. What did I change?
No, other than subsection 2, you said, and to hear,
and to hear appeals by infringers as may be prescribed. This chapter comes from the discussions about the registrar not having the absolute power and us looking at an appeals mechanism. So we thought we could actually put this into this end to make sure that, you know, there's a mechanism that can be done in order for people to appeal. I think the advocacy will assist us in that regard to make sure that it is thoroughly weighted for this specific purpose.
very much for the proposal that has been deletion of the subsection. Okay.
Profession the next one, it's plus 3, and then it's section 18. We are intending to add a plus penalties to students and collected by, but we remember checking that what the comments were was. There are still D, C, D, C.
Community service, okay. But if it goes on to prescribe mortuaries, Mr. Sulaimani, I think you are giving yourself wider powers now. If you are a court of law, just go to mortuary, go to trauma. You are going to get into trouble now. If you want community service, just a compulsory community service, full stop. But if you want to state a case of mortuary and road accident trauma, now we'll be having problems. Or you just want rehabilitation, full stop.
without these details. Remember, it's just that the Shua is not here. It was abhorring the American vis-a-vis Roman Dutch law. Isn't it here we use the Jan van Riebeeck law? So Jan van Riebeeck came with the Dutch and then the Romans. That's the issue. So, where we are arguing whether there's no double jeopardy, that you took somebody's license, cancel or suspend, the person must go to a mortuary and go, why this punishment? Because to cancel somebody's license is a punishment, it's a sanction. Yes. Why again somebody must be taken for another sanction? And we ask you whether you have capacity. Mr. Shua said, no, I will appoint service providers. And there's no money for service providers to run a correctional service for you. Correctional service in Parliament, they want more money. We can't give them. We don't have the money. Our colleagues in the correctional service portfolio. Now you are adding another one in the under RTA. Let's look at this, Jefferson, carefully. If there's an infringement and you take a license under demerit system, is it not too much for an infringer to be subjected to all these penalties?
I think the double jeopardy aspect is also should be taken into consideration, but at the same time, taking from what Honorable Masangani has indicated, that you mentioned commercials and stuff like that, if we just indicate that administering prospect rehabilitation and community service for habitual offenders, because now we specifically saying including driver testing and if we put those, your regulations take into consideration these other things that you are mentioning, they go to the regulations. I'm just checking with you, sir. Once you respond, we'll take a break and go for lunch, and then come back at 2 o'clock. Honorable Hunsinga would want to be recused. There are other matters that he wants to deal with, so we will be left highly depleted, but we'll deal with that once we come back from lunch. See how we can progress. And that's it.
Chairman, I agree with the sentiments of the members. We relook at that and see how we can best accept it. I think it will be as simple as described, and then all the prescribed matters can come into their release. Yes, sir.
Can we take a lunch break and then we will continue? Thank you.